And we were sitting in the lobby of the hotel that was on site at the Viking Center for like 45 minutes. It was just like dead silence. Like nobody was talking. We were just like laying on our backs, like staring at the ceiling, because we were just all like filled with nerves and excitement and anxiety. And it was a pretty real moment. You're either going to take it and run with it, or you know, the walls are going to cave in and it's not going to go the way that we planned.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is the 8th Day Gym CrossFit team. The team members are Michael and Heather Poss, Ryan Schaefer, and Zoe Jones. The team recounts the pressure they faced at semifinals in 2021 and the defining moments that led to their success. They also talk about the amount of sacrifice required to compete at a high level over a full CrossFit season. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now here's the conversation with the 8th Day CrossFit team. We've got the 8th Day Gym team, which I'm pretty confident nobody had heard of you guys prior to last year, outside of maybe West Michigan. And I think that's probably changed now. But for those who maybe haven't or have just heard the name but don't really know anything about you guys, can you introduce yourselves and talk about maybe how long you've been competing together as a group?
I'm Heather Poss. I've been competing with Michael for like 9 years now.
Because you guys are married?
Yeah, we are married. I'm Zoe Jones, and I've been competing with them for like a year and a half.
Okay. Pretty new.
Definitely longer than that.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
No, it's only been a year and a half.
Okay, whatever. My name's Ryan Schaefer. I've been doing CrossFit. How long have you been doing CrossFit for?
6 years.
Okay. Since 2013, so 9 years. I've competed with Michael and Heather for almost 5 years, and with Zoe for 2 years.
It's on record now.
2 years with Zoe.
What about you, Mike?
So Heather and I have been at 8th Day since 2012. And so we were part of multiple regional teams back when there's regionals with different people from 8th Day. And then Ryan and some people from another gym nearby came over and joined us in, it'd be like the winter of 2017. Yeah. And so that was the first year that Ryan and I competed together, and Heather as well, for regionals in 2018. It's been the three of us, and we've kind of had a few different girls as the second girl. Zoe joined us in our quest in the winter of last year.
So probably Zoe, you were the magical like fourth piece to get him over the hump?
I guess so.
Don't give her that ego.
It's too late.
Thank you.
It's too late. I just heard it. And it sounds like it's true. So yeah. Zoe, you have to answer the question. What makes you the reason that they were able to put it together?
Can I record this actually while we're doing this? This should be good.
I don't know. We just had a lot of fun together. We worked together well. I love all three of them.
Did you get connected like and move to be a part of the team, or were you already in the area and they knew you? And because a lot of people will move for teams.
Yeah. I was in the area and I was invited to try out like a year and a half ago with a bunch of other girls, and I made it.
Okay. You just described that really nonchalantly, but that sounds more intense than the way you described it. And I'm trying to envision what a tryout would look like. And you said a bunch of other girls.
It wasn't really that intense. It was like just a day where they invited like, I don't know, 3 or 4 people, girls from the area. And we just worked out together for a day. After that, I just kept coming up, I guess. I don't really remember when you guys said I was on the team.
Yeah, like we kind of didn't know. I mean, so part of it is one girl just decided it wasn't for her. And it wasn't like the next day we were like, hey, Zoe, you're on the team. It was just kind of, we were all trained together and we kind of rotated who would pair with who, and leading into that first season and even going into quarterfinals, we didn't really know who the team was going to be. And it was kind of between Heather and another girl, and then another girl, Hadley, who's also an amazing athlete. And it just so happened that the workouts, those particular workouts just lined up better for Heather. And so that's kind of how it happened.
Wow. Okay. So I'm curious from your guys' perspective, the difference between competing as an individual and as a team outside of, you know, they've got a few different activities and exercises that you guys do as a team, but like training wise, and then maybe mentality, can you just kind of shed some light on competing as a team versus as an individual? Because CrossFit's pretty heavy individual.
I think all of us originally started doing CrossFit as an individual because it was fun and because we enjoyed it. But when you kind of like graduate from doing CrossFit for fun to doing CrossFit for competition, different pressures come into play and things change. And like for myself individually, I played team sports my whole life. I was a hockey player and a lacrosse player. So team things in general, not just CrossFit, but like anything outside of the gym, whether it be like a sport or a project or whatever, like doing things together with people is always more fun, in my opinion, than doing something by myself. And then multiply that feeling by like 10 when you're competing on a stage with a bunch of people in the stands and competing against other teams. Like the collective approach towards a workout for me is more fun. And I think obviously that's why we all do it, because it's a little bit more enjoyable. There's definitely like aspects of being a teammate that are also, I think, more rewarding than being an individual that is competing on the floor by yourself. And then the training accountability, I think, also comes into play as well. I think probably we can all speak to that, but yeah. There's a lot of things that we don't want to do, but we do it because we know the rest of us that, you know, are having to do it. I don't know if anybody else wants to speak to that, but Michael.
Yeah. I mean, even just yesterday we had a work, Ryan and I were doing a partner workout, and you had 4 minutes and you had a bike in a certain distance and 10 overhead squats. And then whatever time you had left, you're doing as many power snatches as you can. And so we had a plan and we had to do everything synchronized. And I told them after we got done, it took us 3 intervals to get the 75 snatches done, basically. And I told them afterwards, I was like, if I was doing that by myself, there's no way I would have been done by the end of that third interval. Having someone doing it, like if I stop doing the snatches, he's just, you know, he's just gonna be waiting on me, you know. So I just keep going. So there's that accountability, just pushes you to go a little further than if you're by yourself.
Yeah. And then added dynamic, right, of the two of you, Mike and Heather, being married. I don't know how many teams have a married couple on them. I can't imagine there's that many of them, but maybe I'm wrong. But how does that add to, improve, make it more difficult, the dynamic of the team?
It's something that we've gotten a lot better at, but kind of the hard part is that if I say something during the workout or between workouts, you know, it's harder to, you know, because I have different roles in my relationship with Heather, right? Like,
yeah,
husband and teammate and, you know, kind of unofficial coach, you know. And so it's like sometimes in the past, it was not received that well, because she receives it as from husband, you know, that all day I'm a strength and conditioning coach, like coach CrossFit, and like all day long, that's what I do, is help people move better. And so like when I see her do something and I just try to have her move a little better, and sometimes she'll take it, she would have taken it personally, you know? So that's something that we have, I think, gotten a lot better at over the years, is, you know, she takes it as I mean it, you know, not as I don't mean it. I'm not trying to be critical of her. You know, I would do the same thing for Ryan or Zoe. You know, if I think I can like help them out, if they can do something a little better, like we all kind of do that for each other. But just the fact that we're married, you know, that just has a little different connotation to it.
But. And to be clear, there are not that many teams, especially at the level that we compete, where there is a married couple on the team. There are some, but the majority is not of that dynamic.
Yeah. And I think if you zoom out a little bit, a big part of it too is the not, it's like all the other stuff, because we have two kids. And so if it was just me competing, right, you know, maybe she can do more stuff, you know, take the kids more often so I can train or whatever. But because we're both on the team, you know, it just takes a lot of more planning and strategy to be able for all four of us to get training sessions in.
Yeah.
So for us, a lot of it revolves around that and trying to do that, but not, you know, also be able to spend time with them and be good parents at the same time.
Right. Yeah. Lots of balance. So how often are the four of you training together versus like training individually, or like you guys were describing training as a pair? What's the mix?
So Michael and I are both very fortunate in, with respect to our schedules being super flexible. We are two of the three head coaches here at 8th Day. So our off hours are the same. And so we get to train together every day. Zoe is up in Grand Rapids at least three times a week. So we're with her. She'll come when Michael and I are training. We always kind of joke, well, Zoe has a lot of flexibility in her schedule as well, but we always kind of joke that Heather is like the real professional of the group. So she has like a very important job where she saves people's lives and stuff. So
that sounds important. Yeah.
Yeah. So her schedule is a little bit less flexible. So the four of us probably train, I would say on average twice a week.
Yeah.
Okay. As a group, but all of the sessions that we're doing are, you know, relatively the same, even if we're not together.
Yeah. So this, Heather, I'm going to ask you this question. Last year, you guys broke through, you made it to the games, you had some success. And this year, I would imagine, you know, that was the expectation, was to make it back to the games and then do better. So what's it been like now with a year of success and transitioning to a year with different expectations? Like, has it changed the way that you guys go about things? Has it changed your mentality and focus? Like, what's different this year?
Yeah, for me specifically, yeah, my training has been a lot more focused. And I was like, going into the season, like knowing that I wanted to compete, knowing that we wanted to make it back to the games, and that it was like a realistic expectation. Last year, I had kind of decided that I was kind of done competing.
Oh,
well, she was coming up. Her son is 2 years old. So
yeah. Right.
She was coming off a year off. That's good context to have.
Yeah. And so I wasn't going to compete anymore after having her second kid. And then when the Open was coming around, Michael was like, well, you know, you could at least like contribute to the team scores, even if you don't move on. It's like, okay. So I started training a little bit harder, but anyway, after last year, I like had it in my mind that yes, I want to keep competing. I'm going to like try to, you know, get rid of some of the weaknesses, the things that held me up at the games last year, and not have things happen again where I didn't like choke, but kind of choked on a couple things. So just more focused.
Yeah. So if you feels more, it sounds like it feels more purposeful. Like last year it was a little bit like, I'm just going to do it because you guys want me to. But this year there's like a real tangible goal attached to it.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do it. I enjoy competing.
Yeah. So a little bit of a unique answer for you. I would imagine the rest of you guys were like, you guys were all the way in at that point. So how's it changed for the rest of you this year? Is it similar, like more focused and purposeful?
Just really quick, I actually forgot that like leading up to last year's Open that you were like not going to compete.
Yeah, I forgot.
So like when going through all of that, we weren't just like, oh, like maybe Heather, you can try and do the Open. We were like, Heather, you're going to do the Open. Like we need you to do the Open. And she was like, no, I think I'm done competing. Like we've had two kids, blah, blah, blah. Like, it must be really hard. And she was like, she was getting to the point where like she was getting so fit so quickly, and we knew that she would score in the Open for us. And then it just snowballed into, oh, now we're going to the games 2 years in a row. And we're supposed to be done competing for a while. So like, it's funny to circle back to that because I kind of forget the timeline of Heather thinking she was done. And now we're 2 years later and we're, you know, we're competing at the goal stage that we've been trying to compete at for the past decade. So,
right. What was that feeling like the first, like when you guys made it last year and got to like step out on the stage, so to speak, what was the feeling like? Like, cause you just said it, right? It had been 10 years in the making trying to get there.
I can probably speak for all of us. It was very surreal. It was very special for sure. It's hard to put it into words. So when we qualified at the Granite Games last year, and we were actually out of a qualifying spot going into the final workout. And so we had to beat a certain amount of teams in order to qualify. And we ended up winning the event outright. And so when we won the event, we knew that we qualified. And so that like storyline of things that happened throughout that weekend, like we've all said it, but it was pretty much a dream come true to be able to do it that way with our family and friends there after so many years of chipping away at it. And even now, like even qualifying year two, it still is like in that dream realm of like, is this really like a reality? Are we going back to the CrossFit Games for the second year in a row? It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. And as you're talking, it's almost like CrossFit, at least for when you guys joined to now, is like a very much an adult activity. And so like teenagers in pursuing basketball or football, you know, they have that same kind of vision and they work towards that for a long time. It's rare to like have that dream be pursued as an adult. Like it's a lot harder because you have so many other things on your time and demand, like to stick with it for that long. So what was it that like let you guys stick with it for as long as you did at such a high level?
That's a good question. Yeah.
I think just like the love of doing the sport. If you don't enjoy the process of training and I mean, cause the season is really long. Yeah. We learned that last year when we ended up qualifying, but you know, from the start of the open to the end of the games, it was like 8 months of a season. Yeah. So if you don't enjoy every process or every stage of that process, then you're going to burn out pretty quickly. So I think just enjoying the actual nature of CrossFit as a whole, it helped us over the years continue on. But even Michael and Heather had competed for probably 2 years longer than I had before I even started CrossFit. So they've been doing it longer than I have. We joke and say that Zoe, she's like the rookie star because the Granite Games was her first actual like large competition.
Oh, wow.
And then she qualified for the CrossFit Games just like in her first year of competing, which is just crazy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, before that, it was like just local comps, scaled local comps.
To be clear, they were scaled. Yeah.
She was in the modified division the year before, and then she qualified for the games the next year.
A rising star for sure. Yeah, that's pretty wild. So like you guys, the other three have a different perspective probably on like getting there, obviously for the amount of time and energy and effort that was put in versus Zoe. Doesn't take away from how special it is for Zoe, but you know, there's just a longer journey for the other, for the rest of you guys. So the whole point of this podcast, right, is to be an encouragement for people. It's this like little mantra back here. We want to equip and encourage people to do hard things so they grow stronger. This is the encouragement part, people's stories. And I think a lot of times people get into difficult seasons and they lack perspective. Like they don't know when it's going to end or if it will. And it feels, you know, really difficult. And they also might think they're alone in it because, you know, nobody's shared a similar experience with them. And so the hope is that, you know, people's stories will encourage people to provide perspective and make people feel not feel alone. And with you guys having all four of you here, I thought it'd be interesting to like hear from you as a team, like what the hardest thing is that you guys have been through and then what you learned from that experience. And then individually, if anybody wanted to share like in your life, what the hardest thing is in your life that you wouldn't take back. So we'll start with you guys as a team. What's the hardest thing you guys have been through as a team and what, like, how'd you grow because of it?
That's a good question. Being that we've been a team for 2 years and the 2 years that we've been a team, we ended up reaching our goal. It's a little difficult to say that we went through, you know, extremely, really tough waters, but I think going into that final event or even going into really the last day of the Granite Games last year, being out of a spot of competition or of qualification and the amount of people that traveled to watch us and have, you know, had supported us for so long, that was the closest we had ever even thought we would get to qualifying for the CrossFit Games. And I think going into that last day, I haven't had nerves like that in my, like, ever in any sport, in any event in my life, going into those final two events, being so close yet still so far away and not knowing if we were going to be able to pull it off was pretty tough. And then being able to, like, capitalize and kind of, like, accomplish our goal at the end of it all was pretty, like I said earlier, pretty special.
Did you guys all feel similarly? Like, this is super nerve-wracking, stress, anxiety. It was on the line, similar to what Ryan's describing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was like a moment of, like, going into the final event, we probably had, I think, 2 hours in between the fifth event and the sixth event in that weekend. So that was Sunday afternoon, and my wife had our coaches pass, and we had another friend, her name's Addison, she was with us, and it was just the six of us, and we were sitting in the lobby of the hotel that was on site at the Viking Center, and for like 45 minutes, it was just like dead silence. Like, nobody was talking. We were just like laying on our backs, like staring at the ceiling, because we were just all like filled with nerves and excitement and anxiety. And it was a pretty real moment. You're either going to take it and run with it, or, you know, the walls are going to cave in and it's not going to go the way that we planned. So that was a pretty, I think that was a pretty powerful moment for all of us to kind of come together. And that's that team aspect of supporting one another and capitalizing on the task at hand.
Yeah. Zoe, do you remember what broke the silence?
That day?
Yeah. 45, like a long period of silence where you guys are all just internalizing all your emotions and your feelings and, you know, anxious about what's coming. Like, do you remember what broke the ice?
No, I don't think anything broke the ice in the hotel, but before we went in, was it before the first event of the day or second one when Jay prayed?
Second, yeah. That was before the final event.
Yeah. It was before the final event. We had walked back to the entrance of the Grant Games, and his wife pulled us together, and she did a prayer with us. And that kind of was like, I don't know, it took away a lot of my nerves, and it kind of was like a calming over me.
My wife might have been more nervous than all of us.
Like, at the time. She probably was.
And she was like, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty emotional, like.
Yeah, it was a cool moment.
It was pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was more nervous. She needed the prayer more than you guys did.
I honestly think that was the case. But it definitely, like, settled all of us and kind of, like, refocused us for what we were about to do.
Yep.
Yeah. So when you look back on your season last year, that was like one of the defining pivotal moments. Do you feel like you learned anything from that specific, it's not even a season, like moment in time that you guys have used this year or maybe even individually?
I would say we were confident in ourselves that, I mean, because no one else was, like, we were in the bottom half of the teams going in. So, like, no one's expecting about anything from us. No one's talking about us. But I think we were pretty confident that we were going to do something there. So, you know, until that moment, you know.
That's the three of us were.
Heather was not. She's said that a few times.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
You know, whatever. Like, it just kind of confirmed how we felt. And it was kind of validating. And, yeah, we belong here. We belong with the top teams. And so I think it just gave us confidence moving forward, I think, that maybe that we didn't quite have before, I guess.
Yeah. So if you guys were talking to another team that maybe is in a similar situation this year or in the future and is listening to this, anxious, nervous, don't know if they belong, but feel like they should, but they haven't proven themselves yet kind of situation, what advice would you guys give them?
If we're talking like at the competition, like you're there, if we're talking about in the moment, you know, I always remind myself, and sometimes I remind us, that like the hard part's already over. Think back of all the work that you've done up to that point. You know, if you have a workout with toes to bar, you know, think about the hundreds and thousands of toes to bar that you've done already to get to that point, and like just be confident in the work that you put in. Yeah.
I would say also to this said team, like, lean on your teammates. You're not in the position to capitalize on something without the three other people that are there with you and standing next to you.
Yeah.
And none of us would be in the position that we're in today if it weren't for the team as a whole and the amount of work that we've all put in together. Yeah. So I think leaning on your teammates and knowing that they're there to support you as much as you are there to support them, I think is a really important message to, like, allow yourself to repeat in your head.
Yeah.
And I mean, for us, like, all four of us are very different athletes, and we don't, there's going to be events where one of us is, it's not going to be their best movement or something, but chances are one or two of us are going to be good at that movement or that workout. So, you know, you don't have to, with a team, you don't have to feel like you have to do everything in every workout. Someone's going to pick up the slack in that workout, and there's going to be a workout later on where you're going to be needed to step up.
Yeah, yeah. And Heather, for you, it sounds like you had a bit of a different mentality than everybody else. And so would you have any advice for somebody who is feeling was feeling similar to you, where it's like, I don't think, like, we're in over our heads or whatever. I don't want to put words in your mouth of how you were actually feeling. Like, do you have any words of wisdom, like, having been through that now, that you could share with someone?
I think you just have to have confidence and believe in yourself. And I don't always do that. These guys are good at it. Michael. They all do, actually. So, I mean, yeah. It's important to believe in yourself. And like Michael said, realize all the work that you did put in.
So how do you get to the point where you can believe in yourself? It's one thing to say that, and it sounds like all three of your teammates would say they believe in you, but yet that still can creep in.
I don't know what I do specifically.
I think part of it, though, is, like, we had gotten to the point of almost qualifying so many years in a row to where that confidence that we could make it into that next tier, especially for, like, Michael and Heather, because they had so many other years at regionals together with other teams. The continued belief that they were going to qualify maybe deteriorated a little bit after so many years of not qualifying. Having that belief became a little bit more difficult as those years went on.
I would say there was a lot of years where, like, our goal was not to qualify. Our goal was to make it to regionals and just do as well as we could. Like, we didn't have the athletes and we didn't have the team that was going to make a push for it. But for me anyway, my thought process was just do what you can that day in that training session, and those days and those sessions will just add up, and, you know, over time just get as good as you can. And so that's kind of what I did and what Heather did. And just eventually, you know, Ryan came in, and then eventually Zoe came in, and, you know, we were ready for that opportunity. We didn't just get frustrated and give up. You know, if someone's trying to learn muscle ups, you know, there's a lot of people that try and learn muscle ups. And if you don't put in the time, like, there's a lot of time, like, some people get it right away, right? But a lot of people have to put a lot of time in and do boring drills and build a foundation so that one day when everything clicks, they physically can do it. And so that's always kind of been my approach, is just keep building. And then, you know, when the opportunity came, you know, we were ready for it. We had already, and that's where you have the confidence in all the work that you have done up until that point, because there will be a payoff eventually if you're consistent and you keep at it and keep chipping away, even through all the, you know, not exciting sessions or working on your weaknesses, all those types of things.
Yeah.
It's a preparation thing for sure. Like, I wasn't prepared for last season. I had way more confidence going into semifinals this year because I felt prepared. Like, I put in the work this year. I did the training. I made time for it. It was a priority. Knowing that I was prepared for it helped me have the confidence that I needed to for this season.
I had a friend once used the analogy. He always talked about, like, putting coins in the bank, right? You do a session, you're putting coins in the bank, you're putting work in. You might not get a payoff that day or even the next week, but you just keep putting coins in the bank, and then eventually you're going to get a chance to cash them in, you know? And so you just know you have all those coins built up in the bank. And so that's where the confidence comes, is from all the work and all the time you've put into it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good analogy. Okay. So, yeah, thanks for kind of walking through. It's always interesting in team dynamic because everyone's got a bit of a different approach to, you know, a given situation and circumstance and a different experience like lived, although, you know, you're doing it together. So it's interesting to hear you guys talk about it. I'm curious, like, if any of you want to take a stab at answering for your own life, what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back? No pressure to answer it if you don't want to, but I'd be curious if any of you have a story that you're willing to share.
I don't know if it's the hardest thing or what, you know, but one of the hardest things I kind of talked about already, like, just, well, first of all, we finished and we qualified and I had never really thought past that point, you know? And yeah. So I was like, okay, we made it. And there's like a sense of relief. Now we got to, let's finish as high as we can. You know, we're not just going to go and just check the box of competing at the games. We're going to go as finish as high as we can. So those, I don't remember what it was, 6 weeks or so, were very challenging for Heather and I just to be able, because now we're trying to fit in double sessions and we got our two kids and we got jobs and trying to balance all these things because we also don't want to forget about our kids, obviously, you know, so we want to do that well, you know, not just do CrossFit well, but do all the other things well. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't take it back. And we just started doing it again this week. So
Here we go.
Yeah. So Heather, can you talk about that balance of like parenting and competing at a really high level and from a mom's perspective? I know, like, in my own marriage with my kids, like my wife, you know, it's harder for her to be away, and just be curious for you. Yeah. How you guys work through that?
It's tough. Just because you want to be, or at least I want to be the best at everything that I'm doing. So I want to be good at my job. I want to be a good parent. I want to be good at CrossFit. And like, in order to be good at something, you have to put time into it. So mm-hmm. some of your time to your kids, some of your time to your job, some of your time to your hobby, you know, whatever. You just have to, it's hard, but you just have to kind of find what works and know that you're not going to every day be the best in all of those areas. So, you know, some days my training session is cut short because I feel like I haven't seen my kids in 4 days. So I, you know, do an hour, hour and a half, and I go home and I say, that's all I have to give to this today. Or, you know, some days I'm like, okay, I have been kind of slacking on my workouts. I need to do the full training session today and I won't see my kids, you know, mm-hmm. Gets them up in the morning. He gets them off the daycare because I'm already at work. He picks them up in the afternoon. And so, you know, some days I really just don't see them. And so that day I'm not being a great mom. And then some days work suffers by, like, you know, could I stay here and finish up these notes and do all this the way that I should? Yes. Or should I leave and go spend time doing other things? So you just have to, you know, give and take from each thing. Know that you're doing the best you can in each area.
Yeah, I was talking to Jeremiah Head, who's the Ramwad founder. And, you know, they had their own gym and before they started the company, and their kids like grew up in the gym. And, you know, they have older kids now. So I was just asking him, like, what was it like, you know, having your kids like grow up in the gym and being around what you were doing, like having this family business, so to speak. And obviously it's a little bit of a different situation than your guys's, but he talked about like just having those memories that his kids have of being around when they were working out and trying to perform at a high level. And it was all about being intentional when they were around their kids, that they tried to do that really well. And their kids weren't any worse for the wear because, you know, they understood what their parents were doing when they were doing it, which you guys are super intentional people, obviously, or you wouldn't be at high level athletes, any four of you. And so I'm sure your kids can pick up on that stuff and appreciate it. And there's different seasons, but
to echo how like the sacrifices that they put in it, like my wife and I constantly have this conversation come up. We don't know how they do it. The amount, like Michael said, the amount of support that they have is just incredible. But like one thing that always plays in my head of the sacrifices that like a mother makes for her children, I think it was at the games and you hadn't seen the kids in a while. And maybe we were driving back from the games or something. And you kept saying how you missed the kids. And she got on a FaceTime and she was talking to Maverick, their older one. And he's, "Hey mom, when are you coming home? You know, blah, blah, blah." And he's having a good time. And the phone gets handed to Phoenix, the younger one. And as soon as he saw his mom's face, he instantly started crying.
Yeah. Oh man.
Just tell like he missed his mom so much. So I think it definitely doesn't go unnoticed, the amount of sacrifices that they make as parents to be able to continue doing what they're doing now. It's pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just probably an encouraging thing for you guys to hear too, to like be appreciated for the sacrifice by your teammates too. Cause you know it, you're super aware, you know, but you're not like blabbing about all the things you're giving up to, you know, so that they understand, you know, like you just hope that they appreciate it, you know, and you're going to do your best as a teammate.
Zoe spends many hours driving here and back every week and lots of part time. And I mean, we're all giving stuff up to do it. And that's why it works too, because we all have the same level of commitment and we know that all four of us have that commitment and we're all making sacrifices. And that's part of why it works. If there is an imbalance there where someone wasn't willing to give up things, then that definitely hurts team chemistry for sure.
Ryan's got a busy social life. And he's
I was trying to think while we were talking, like, what am I giving up?
Ryan gives up alcohol.
Jeez, that sounds terrible. My wife has yet to have our first child, so I'm not sacrificing time with the baby yet. So
it's a good point though, right? Like in the team setting or even just for anybody, I think specifically in CrossFit, outside of maybe like the top, I'll call them 15 or 20 athletes, there's a lot that gets sacrificed to compete in this sport. It's not like most professional sports right now where, you know, that's like all you do and you can afford to do it. And so it's just a lot more balancing that you guys all have to do it and to do it at a high level. Anybody else want to take a stab at hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back?
I quit an engineering role to do this full time. I went to college for supply chain engineering, had a really nice job offer right out of school. I worked for 3 years in a comfortable salary and benefits and cool cubicle and all that. And I had the projection of, you know, manager and all that stuff. And I got to the point where my personality just, I wasn't impacting anybody's lives in a positive way. Like that was tangible to me. I was able to create an opportunity here at 8th Day to be here full time and kind of like chase the dream of competing professionally full time. Like I'll never forget the call to my dad when I quit my job. My dad was an engineer. My grandpa was an engineer. Hey, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to coach CrossFit and try and compete professionally. And I remember just being like, probably looking at the phone, like, is this real? I mean, my wife and I had a lot of long talks about it. I talked to Michael a lot about it before I ended up actually like pulling the trigger on it. Yeah. It was the hardest decision that I've probably ever made. And I wouldn't take it back for anything. Even if things weren't to have gone as well as they did, I still would never want to look back and think to myself, what if?
Hmm.
And I'm very thankful that things are continuing down the path of success, but I think that only comes with hard work and that ability to take a risk to do something that you really love. So,
yeah. What made it such a hard decision? I mean, obviously there was some security and good things that were coming from this other job, but what made it really hard?
I went to school for 5 years to get the degrees that I had. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be an engineer and I wanted to work in cars and I wanted to do engineering things and automotive things. And that was like what my family did. I mean, the generations before me, they all worked for Ford. I could have walked into a position at Ford, and to just like completely 360 and leave corporate America for something that is very like, you know, niche and risky. It was really difficult to, and especially because like it was almost 4 years that I was at the company I was at. You know, you build a reputation, you build yourself as a professional, and you kind of like grow some roots within a company. To just like leave all of that and wipe the slate clean and chase something that is completely opposite of like what my family would think I would do. It was pretty scary. Yeah.
What'd your dad say when you called? Like you said, he was like, is this real? But then what did he say? Was he for it? Or was he like, I don't know.
I mean, I definitely think he thought I was like going off the rails for sure. and I don't blame him at all. I mean, my parents are super supportive. They always have been, but like, even if I were in his shoes, it still would have been like a shock to me. So yeah, he was definitely like kind of taken off guard, but I'm not the type of person that would do something like that without having a lot of other things in line and planned. And
you're an engineer.
Yeah. I'm a little bit calculated. So yeah, I mean, like, things were in the works, but at the same time, it's still a very large decision to just drop and leave and chase something else. So
Yeah. Big transition for sure. And it's not like you were making, it sounds like you were married at the time, right? So you weren't making that decision with it only impacting you, right? Like, it's going to impact your wife too.
We just bought our first house and we have car payments and all that. And we had a future that, you know, we were planning towards, and to leave it all to chase this, it was scary, but it was the best decision I've ever made for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those decisions are like, everybody goes through that kind of a decision turning point at some point, right? Whether it's like where they're going to go to college or who they're going to marry, or if they're going to quit, like quitting something is super hard to do. And then like taking a risk on some future path that you don't really understand. What advice would you give somebody who's in the middle of their own hard thing?
I would give the advice of the dark times. I mean, you hear this all the time. Dark times don't last forever. They might seem like they do, but also surround yourself with people who really care about you and really support you and really want to see you succeed, no matter if it's mental, physical, this CrossFit stuff, any part of your life. That kind of stuff really helps. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just surround yourself with people that you love, who you trust, put a smile on your face. It helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Any advice from you, Heather?
No, I think that what Zoe said is really important, though, like having the right people in your life and just making sure that you're surrounding yourself with the right type of people definitely helps to make hard times easier. And I think, you know, I've never had like a really, really bad thing happen to me in my life, but I'm confident that if I did, like, I know I've got people who would help me get through it.
Yeah. I mean, you're built into a team, right? So like you've got three people right now on this call, and you know, not everybody has that.
I like talking about just surrounding yourself with good people. Like that's a big deal for sure. And I mean it's easier said than done, I'm sure. Like, not everyone has that luxury, but yeah, we're very fortunate that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so to wrap this up, the question I usually ask is, what's a hard thing you're in the middle of right now? Because everybody's going through stuff, and you know, it's all relative to individuals. But as a team, as a group, like as you're getting ready to train for the, you know, the games again, how would you guys collectively answer that question? What is the hard thing that you're going through now?
The next 8 weeks are going to be pretty brutal. in the most fun and rewarding way possible. So I think we got a taste of it last year. Like Michael said, we didn't really like think past semifinals because we had never gotten to that point last year. And I think this kind of like goes in line with being supported by the people around you. We had a great support system with the programming that we followed leading up to the games by a company called Comtrain. So they helped us out quite a bit, not having to think about what we needed to do to prepare ourselves and us as a team to be ready to compete. And we're very thankful that they're supporting us in this second year leading up. So we don't have to think too much about it. We just have to put in the work, and that work is long and hard and difficult, but this is why we do it. Yeah. We're thankful that we're at this point of pain leading up to the CrossFit Games.
It's also like we all are going to have to do things that we don't like to do because we need to do it. Ryan needs to run. I need to swim. So it's, you know, there's no getting around it. Like, we're going to have to do those things, the things that we're bad at. And so and no one really likes working on the things that you're bad at. So
no way.
But for me, it's swimming. And last year there was a swimming event, and Ryan was just waiting on the shore for many minutes for me to finish. And he couldn't finish his part of the workout until I finished it. So, you know, so just stuff like that, like being accountable to everyone that we're all going to do everything we can to fill those holes in the next couple months.
Yeah. Well, at least it's a good time of year to train for swimming, I guess.
I have grown to dislike it a little less. I've been in the pool a lot this winter, and so that it wouldn't have to be like cramming for the exam. I'm in a lot better place than this time last year.
Yeah. Well, guys, this was kind of fun. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed the like team dynamic of the conversation. And I think for everybody who's listening to this and, you know, maybe got some encouragement from what you guys are sharing or has questions about, you know, team dynamic and competing at a high level, like how do people find you, follow you, get in touch with you guys, and even just follow you as you're, you know, competing this year?
Michael's Instagram.
Well, yeah, Michael doesn't have an Instagram. He's the grandfather of the team. So he has yet to follow or to get an Instagram. Heather's Instagram is 100% of her kids. So either myself or Zoe on Instagram would probably be the best way to follow our journey. We also, so I have a podcast that I run with one of my close friends who's a videographer, and he is going to be documenting the whole season for us.
Oh, cool.
Again. Yeah, that would be another way to follow. That's called Bourbon Imbalance. He will be doing a lot of like update videos and recaps for leading up and then also into the actual weekend of the games.
Okay. Ryan and Zoe, what are your guys' Instagram handles for people that want to follow?
Zoe Jones 06.
Okay. I always forget my name.
And Zoe is, Zoe, you got to spell Zoe for people.
Z-O-E.
No Y.
Don't put it in
there. Mine's just my last name, Schaefer_Ryan_.
And Schaefer is S-C-H?
A-F-E-R. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, well, hopefully you get some people to follow you and stay in touch and maybe get some encouragement from you guys. It is an impressive thing to be able to do what you guys are doing, not only one time, but, you know, 2 years in a row now, and with all the other stuff that you guys have to balance and together. You have to do it with four lives and not just one. And so it's not lost on me, and I'm sure it's not lost on a lot of other people, the difficulty of what you guys are accomplishing. And so it's encouragement for me just listening to you guys talk about it and the process that you go through and the work that you put in. And I'm confident it'll be the case for others, and grateful that you guys gave me some of your time just to hear your stories and talk to you guys and share it. So thank you for hopping on.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.